what falls under the umbrella of arts to the Abbotsford Arts Council? Is it all sorts of different arts?
It's really easy to have musicians and music and show that. And it's really easy to show paintings and photographs. But we do have member groups who are poetry groups. And we also have theater groups. We also have a gift shop in the gallery. So we have all types of artisans that are also part of the Arts Council. So try and cover everything that you can think of. But some things are a little bit more challenging than others.
For 2021 upcoming, what does your programming look like?
For March, we're going ahead with our Women in Arts show. For the month of March, we're celebrating women. And then we have a new show every month moving forward. And then we also have Jam and Jubilee online. So I should clarify, those exhibitions are all digital exhibitions. Jam and Jubilee will be online. Millink Music will be in some type of iteration this year, kind of waiting out to see where the health regulations are, to see what type of event we throw for that. But something will happen, whether it's online or in person. We're launching our gift shop online. So we will have all sorts of artisan items as well as prints, all from local artists that will be available online come this spring.
You say there's a new exhibition every month. What is the process like for deciding what that exhibition is going to be and who gets included?
We did a call out in September. And so we have a committee that gets together and they adjudicate the submissions. But we also like to have open calls because it's kind of fun. Sometimes people miss the submission date or they maybe don't have a whole show, but they do have one or two pieces that they'd like to show. So something like the Anonymous show was a show that we do in November. Every piece is just a foot by foot square. And it's pretty free range in terms of content, colors. It has to be 2D. We haven't really ventured into 3D yet, sometimes a little bit, but most of the pieces are 2D. And that's always fun to see what people from the community submit for that project.
We in the South Asian community have a rich tradition of arts as well. Have you ever collaborated in a project with the South Asian community?
Yeah, so we used to do a show in the winter time with the Gurmat Center. And that is a lot of fun because the kids get so excited to have their pieces on the wall. So I don't think I've seen so many people taking pictures with their piece of art, but the kids really love it. We didn't do anything in 2020 with them, I think, because they do different projects. So those years they were working on paintings, but I think that last year they didn't do a project like that, so they didn't really have anything to display. But we have worked with them. We have had Saint Soldier at a couple of our events. We have actually two female artists for the month of April, and one of them is a Korean artist, and one of them is a South Asian artist. They're doing a fun show called Vibrant Femmes. So it's all about women in their lives and vibrant colors. So that's kind of fun. But there's definitely an opportunity to do more. You can always be doing more, right?
Yeah, absolutely. How is your relationship with the community as a whole or the business community to get funding?
A lot of people know the Little Red House at Mill Lake, but they don't know that you can go in for free. I have a lot of people say, oh, I know that place, but I've never been inside. So we're really focusing on trying to create a better online presence so that when we're able to go back in person, people are like, oh, yeah, the Arts Council, I saw that online. I'll go check it out. But we do have quite a few people who come in from the park, especially in the summer. We're quite busy with just people walking by. In terms of the business community, we are associated with the Chamber of Commerce. So we do some networking with them, as well as our Jam and Jubilee summer series. We had quite a few businesses sponsor just a sharing of social media and marketing that way. Also for our winter Jam and Jubilee, three or four of the shows were in businesses. So Old Hand participated, Ravens participated. We do have a good relationship with some of the local businesses.
But how do you generally find people in this community react to the Arts Council?
I think that there's an interesting relationship with art in Abbotsford in that it's not always valued at the level that it should be. And so we really try to advocate for artists being paid a fair wage and being compensated fairly for when they do events. I had a volunteer say to me one time, she was a city planner, not for Abbotsford, for a different city. And she said, you know, everybody asks me to paint a picture of their dog for free, but nobody would ever ask me to jot out city plans for free. They're both part of her identity. And yet painting your dog, which is just as much work, it's kind of interesting how people see that in the community. And I know that I've had some artisans who do really, really well in White Rock, for example. But in Abbotsford, they have such a hard time selling their pieces. I do think that is changing. There seems to be more of a push for local during COVID. So hopefully that will transition into reopening and that momentum will continue.
How has COVID changed the art way of doing things in the city?
So we have had a really unique opportunity for our organization to distinguish ourselves from the Carriage and Art Gallery. So a lot of people think Abbotsford Arts Council Carriage and Art Gallery, but the truth is, you know, we are also an outreach program and we're focused on bringing arts out into the community, not just into the Carriton building itself. So that's been a really good thing for us to explore during COVID. But yeah, it's not as much fun sometimes and you're in isolation, right? You're not able to share as easily with your peers and talk about how did you make that piece or how did you mix those colors or whatever, stuff like that. You kind of have to just observe on your own. So it's a little bit isolating, obviously, but I think that a lot of people are starting to share more on social media their art, which is really great to see.
Yeah, and how have you used Zoom? Have you integrated Zoom into your strategy in the last year?
During the summertime, Jam and Jubilee did interviews with music industry professionals via Zoom for Jam and Jubilee content. In 2021 here, we'll start doing gallery openings on Zoom. So it'll be an opportunity for members to chat with the artist, just trying to get a little bit of normality back, I guess. The opening nights were always so much fun because everybody's family would come and you get to talk to the artist. So we're trying to do something like that. We didn't do Zoom, but we did Facebook and Instagram live. We did some artist skill shares. So we had 8 different artists just go live for an hour and share their process.
How is social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, changed the way you guys approach art or promote art?
It's been a really great opportunity for us to connect with artists that wouldn't necessarily know about us. Last year for Mother's Day, I did some package sales of artisan items, and we had about 3 people purchase from other parts of the province just because they knew it was a piece by one of their friends, so they wanted to buy it or things like that. So that's really cool, and that's an opportunity for people outside of the Abbotsford community to get to see what Abbotsford artists have to offer. So I think that social media has been quite beneficial in that way. And it's also been a good way, I think, to express your process too. I've seen a lot of artists go live and just talk about what they do and how they do it. People who might have been curious before, now they have an opportunity to actually connect with that artist and ask them questions. And it's nice to at least have some way to connect during this time.